Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the wonderful Australian bush. The birds have been alive and excited about the springtime, and I think maybe the mozzies and the bugs have been as well. Today, we're going to continue our study through the book of John. And today, Jesus is going to change the story just a little bit. He's going to add something. And I want us to be very much aware of what he does and what he says, because it will have a significant application in our lives. But first, let me ask a question to kind of set this all up. If I wanted to find a sacred place, where would I find it? Where would I go to find a sacred place? Now, don't answer it. I want you to think about it and pray about it. Because I believe Jesus himself will answer that question in the next couple of chapters in the Gospel of John, particularly in John 17. So I would encourage you to read John 15, 16, and 17, and you'll find that answer on where we can find a sacred place. So let's begin with prayer, and then we'll go verse by verse from John 14, verse number 7, to the end of the chapter. Father, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Lord, use this to teach us something. Don't let us go away without grasping what Jesus is doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had just made one of the most profound statements when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." A very exclusive comment. But you see, that comment is life-changing. It will show us a direct link to the Father, and that was through him. Then Jesus says in verse number 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen me." Clearly, Jesus is spending a lot of time here on this concept of he and the Father are one. Why would he do that? Well, I think the next verse gives us some insight. Verse number 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." What's going on here? I think Philip and the rest of the disciples were just good Jews, and their whole concept of God is the Lord, our Lord, is one Lord. Well, there's not two, but one. One person, one being, one creator, not two. But Jesus is showing them that he and the Father are the same person. A very radical comment to the Jews. You and I can look back and we can see and understand it. But the Jews, they were struggling. Well, something else. Philip might have been looking for some supernatural sign from Jesus to show who the Father is. Well, there's a lot of people around today wanting some supernatural sign. Why don't we just believe the truth? But anyway, Jesus corrects Philip. Look what he said in verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Well, he really straightens Philip out. But before we're too hard on poor old Philip, let me ask you a question. How many times has the Lord Jesus tried to teach us something, and then he has to say, "How many times do I have to try to teach you this, and you still don't get it?" So let's ease up on poor old Philip. Now Jesus continues, verses 11 through 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Look, Philip, do you not believe? Do you not believe what I'm saying? He says, "Everything that I do because the Father's in me. Everything that I say is because the Father is in me. And if you can't believe those things, at least look at the works, because surely God is the only one to do that can do the things that you've seen me do. Well, verse number 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now that's a big one. Have followers of Jesus done greater works than him? That's an amazing comment. Well, look at this. If you don't believe that, then how did the teaching of a Savior who died and rose again travel all the way around the world to you and me? How many lives has the preaching of the gospel changed, radically changed, because of the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection? That is amazing. Just think about it. How is it possible that the message of Jesus would still be around 2,000 years after he lived, with so many people trying to destroy it? You see, Jesus is in fact doing far greater works through those who believe than he did while he was here. He's doing just like he said. Verse 13, 14, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's another big comment. These verses are full of big comments. Listen, have you ever prayed a prayer and then just casually tacked on to the end, in Jesus' name, amen? I know I have. Well, let me try to explain what you're saying when you say in Jesus' name. First, in Jesus' name means because of him, all because of him. Secondly, it's for him and his purposes, not ours. In Jesus' name means my prayer is in the absolute center of the Lord's will for us. Do we think of that when we say in Jesus' name? Let me ask you, is your prayer that you pray in the absolute center of God's will for you? Something to think about there. You may be wondering, how can I know the perfect will of God for my life? Well, Jesus answers that in John chapter 15. If you want to read ahead, go ahead and read John chapter 15. Let's look at verses number 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, because you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So we have the promise of the Holy Spirit coming there. But I believe he also just gave us a process for that fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not what a lot of people say today. He says, love me and keep my commandments. That's what he said. Love me and keep my commandments. So let me ask you, do you love Jesus? I mean, more than just a comment. Do you honestly love Jesus? Are you committed to him? Secondly, do you keep his commandments? You need to ask those questions of yourself. Anyway, we now have the promise of the helper who's coming. Let's see what he says in John chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, and because I live, you will live also. Reminds me of a song. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Did you notice Jesus just added something to the story? Look at verse 20. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In that day, it will be more than just the Father and the Son together, but the Father and Son will be in us. What does that mean to you? Think about it. What does it mean that God lives in us? I'm going to leave you to ponder that one for a little while. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There's that requirement again, loving Jesus and keeping his commandments. I believe if we'll do that, love Jesus and keep his commandments, then we can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he will show us Jesus. He will show us the Father. Now Judas, and not the traitor, asked Jesus a question about the rest of the people in the world. Verse 23, 24, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Well, there we are. That's for us. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's us. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. If you don't love Jesus, you're not going to keep his word and do his commandments. It's just plain and simple. He says, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if you reject the words and commands of Jesus, you're rejecting God. Plain and simple. That's the rest of the world. And here is the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. And we know in that day, as Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will fulfill the indwelling of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit within our lives. That is an amazing promise. But he gives us one more promise, verse number 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I believe that the one major thing that our world needs today is peace. Peace in our countries, peace in our communities, peace in our lives. And that's real supernatural peace that only Jesus can give. And he has promised that. He's promised that. Well, so he says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'll give you peace. Don't be just torn up by everything going on. I'll give you peace. Well, now Jesus moves to conclude his comments and go off towards Calvary. So let's review. Jesus has now said that the Father and he are one, but now they will be in us. He promises that the Holy Spirit will soon come, the Helper. Thirdly, he finally promises his peace. And remember, it all starts from loving Jesus and keeping his commandments. Then and only then will his promises be ours. Do you love him? Or are you keeping his commandments? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Father, through the Holy Spirit, drive those truths home to us. Let us not only hear them, but let us follow them. In Jesus' name, amen.